Ryan Gray. And if you guys were here last Wednesday, you got to see him and his dear wife at our chili supper. So, Ryan, you come up. And it's
well, it's a blessing to open the Word of God with you tonight. Our text is in Matthew, Mark chapter 4. It's a blessing to know your pastor, recently retired, Pastor Gray, and he opened this auditorium up to my wife and I when we were married. My wife is the daughter of Pastor Ron Manuel over here in neighboring Avondale, church plant with BIMI, and tell you what, your Pastor Gray has been a blessing to our family and a blessing to my father-in-law for these many years. And we're going to look tonight at a little phrase that appears several times in the Bible. The little phrase is, what manner? The title of my message tonight is, what manner of man? What manner of man? And this little phrase appears several times throughout the Scripture. We're only going to look at three of them, and we'll tag a fourth one on there for reference. But if you're in Mark chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he, Jesus, saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's ask God's blessing on his word tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help us behold wondrous things out of your law as we look into your word. I pray that we would not leave here tonight the same as we came in, but that we would be changed more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, more into the image of the man from Galilee, the unique God-man, fully man and fully God. And I ask that you would apply your word to our hearts, and may it deal well with us tonight, your people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So here you have Jesus, the Lord and Master, early on in his ministry, at the end of a day of ministry. In verse 35, it says, the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now this year, the Lord might ask some of you to go somewhere with him. He might ask you to pass over some obstacle. And what the disciples didn't know is that God had planned for an obstacle to arise in their lives that he was going to use to grow them. Maybe the obstacle you face tonight is finances. Maybe the obstacle you face tonight is faith. Whatever the obstacle you face, the Master has prepared grace for you. It says, he, Jesus, said unto the disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, of course, they took him as he was in the ship. And the storm of wind arises. And you see that Christ says, peace be still. And the disciples feared. What an interesting reaction in verse 41. And they feared exceedingly. They didn't just fear. The word exceedingly is added under inspiration. The Apostle Mark adds that. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? What kind of man is this that has power even over nature? Well, the man who created it all had the power to suspend it, and it would obey him. It was subservient to him. Notice here that Christ was received into the ship, but he was ignored by the disciples until the moment that they needed him. Also notice that he was the passenger, not the pilot, until the moment that they needed him. And You see, later in his ministry, I'd like you to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 14 for a parallel passage. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 14 for a parallel passage. Back a little bit in your scripture texts. This is later in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another voyage. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. You have in verses 19, 20, and 21 the end of the feeding of the 5,000. And he, Jesus, commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples, to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Why 12 baskets full? 12 disciples. You see, in Mark chapter 4, they ask him, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And the Lord demonstrates to them time and time again, and even in this verse, that he cared for them, cared for their needs, cared so much that he left a whole basket full of the fragments after he and they were finished serving the multitude. And the multitude was 5,000 men, verse 21. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. So if you say they were married, that's 10,000. If you say they had one child, you're looking at probably an estimate of 12 to 15,000 people. And what happens at the end of this day of ministry? And straightway is a key phrase, a key word in the book of Matthew. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him. This time Christ does not enter the boat. To go before him unto the other side, while he, Jesus, sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, the early a.m., Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And of course, we know that he bids Peter come. Peter walks on the water. He sinks. And in verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And what was the reaction of the disciples at this point? Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." They went from what manner, what kind of man is this? What unique attributes of this man to, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." See, Jesus Christ is fully man and fully God. And that's why it is no problem for him to calm the storm, whatever the storm is that you and I find ourselves in. Sometimes he's in the boat, but he's not our captain. Sometimes we left him on the shore. We need to invite him into the boat to calm the storm. Either way, he has the ability, the God of creation, to control and order the creation that he made. This is not the only spot in Scripture that we see something very remarkable about our Lord. We just came through the Advent, the Christmas season, and we're now going into New Year's. In Luke chapter 1, verse 21, the angel appears to Mary, and she says, "What manner of salutation is this?" See, Mary knew there was something unique, special about the Lord, even before he was born in the virgin birth. Luke 20, Luke 2, we have the account of Jesus in the temple, discoursing with the Pharisees. Now go ahead and turn with me to Luke 2, verse 50, and we'll just read that one verse. We'll pick up that one verse, and then we'll move on. Luke 2, 50. Well, we'll back up in verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they, Christ's parents, Mary and Joseph, found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he, Jesus, said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they, the parents, understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. What manner of man? There's a song written by Ben Everson. I don't know if you've heard this, brother, but entitled, What Manner of Man Is This? And I'd like to read the lyrics of that to you. What manner of man is this who tires as soon as I? What kind of man is this, this man that I've seen cry when his friend faced death, but with his next breath raised him yet alive? What manner of man is this whom wind and seas obey? What kind of man is this who teaches how to pray like we've never known, go before the throne of the Father on high? He is Jesus, King of creation. He is Jesus, Lord of all nations, bound up in humanness, needing food and sleep and rest, fully man, yet holy God. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this who stands out from the crowd? What kind of man is this before whom a father bows and with sorrowed voice makes the humble choice to beg his daughter's life? What manner of man is this who makes the blind man see? I would add, that is a miracle that only the Messiah did. No one else had made blind see before the Messiah. What manner of man is this who makes a blind man see and frees an outcast soul from his leprosy, takes a laughingstock, and then makes him walk, just like you and me? He is Jesus, King of creation. He is Jesus, Lord of all nations, bound up in humanness, needing food and sleep and rest, fully man, yet holy God. What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this who stands in Pilate's hall while screaming crowds insist he die and suffer all? What kind of man is this, suspended between earth and heaven in blood and agony so I could be forgiven? What manner of man is this? What manner of God is this? What manner of God? Secondly, I'd like you to see what manner of love. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, and we'll end in 1 John and 1 Peter. 1 John chapter 3. The disciples had seen all of those things at different parts in Christ's ministry, and they came to the realization that Christ could not have been a mere man. He was the God-man. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. He could not have merely been a good man, for his claim to be God would make him a liar. He was the God-man, and we either accept him as the way, there are no other ways, the truth, there is no other truth, and the life, or we reject him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, Behold, what manner of love, what kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What manner of love! Many, many years ago, a young man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon encountered what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon him. And I'd like to read you an excerpt from Spurgeon's autobiography of his conversion experience. Spurgeon says, "I sometimes think I might have been in darkness and despair until now, had it not been for the goodness of God in sending a snowstorm one Sunday morning while I was going to a certain place of worship. When I could go no further, I turned down a side street and came to a little primitive Methodist chapel. In that chapel, there may have been a dozen or 15 people. I had heard of the primitive Methodists, how they sang so loudly that they made the people's heads ache, but that did not matter to me. I wanted to know how I might be saved, and if they could tell me that, I did not care how much they made my head ache. The minister did not come that morning. He was snowed up. At last, a very thin-looking man, a shoemaker or tailor or something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. Now, it is well that preachers should be instructed, but this man was really stupid." Spurgeon uses the word stupid to mean uneducated, not formally educated. "He was obliged to stick to his text for the simple reason that he had little else to say. The text was, 'Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth.' He did not even pronounce the words rightly, but that did not matter. There was, I thought, a glimpse of hope for me in that text. The preacher began thus, 'My dear friends, this is a very simple text indeed, for it says, look. Now, looking don't take a great deal of work. It ain't like lifting your foot or your finger. It is just look. A man needn't go to college to learn how to look. You may be the biggest fool, yet you can look. A man needn't be worth $1,000 a year to be able to look. Anyone can look. Even a child can look. But then the text says, look to me. I, said he, in broad Essex, many on you are looking to yourselves. But it's no use looking there. You'll never find any comfort in yourselves. Some look to God the Father. No, look to him by and by. Jesus Christ says, look unto me. Some on ye say, we must wait for the Spirit's working. You have no business with that just now. Look to Christ. The text says, look unto me. Then the good man followed up his text in this way. Look unto me. I am sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me. I am hanging on the cross. Look unto me. I am dead and buried. Look unto me. I rise again. Look unto me. I ascend into heaven. Look unto me. I am sitting at the Father's right hand. Oh, poor sinner, look unto me. Look unto me." Spurgeon's account rings true today. He saw the visions of the Lord's ministry in that primitive Methodist preacher's text. And he said, briefly now, "There was never anything so true to me as those bleeding hands and that thorn-crowned head. Home, friends, health, wealth, comforts, all lost their luster that day when he appeared, just as the stars are hidden by the light of the sun. He was the only Lord and giver of life's best bliss, the one well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. As I saw Jesus on his cross before me, and as I mused upon his sufferings and death, methought I saw him cast a look of love upon me, and then I looked at him and cried, 'Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly.' He said, 'Come,' and I flew to him and clasped him. And when he let me go again, I wondered where my burden was. It was gone. There in the sepulcher it lay, and I felt light as air." What manner of love. Lastly, I'd like us to see in 2 Peter, what manner of persons. 2 Peter chapter 2, just a few brief verses. 2 Peter, I'm having trouble with my references tonight, chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We'll read three more verses. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. What manner of persons? You realize that everything that you see around you tonight will eventually be burned up, gone. You realize, when you think about that, what we spend the bulk of our time on will eventually be burned away. And the Lord will create a new heaven and a new earth, just as he created this earth and this heaven, new and sinless. What are we spending our time on? Is it pursuit of holiness? Are we looking at the character of our Lord Jesus Christ and seeking to develop those character traits in our lives? What manner of persons ought we to be after we've encountered the manner of love and the manner of man that he is? I'd like to conclude the message tonight with another poem, a thought by Leslie Leland Fields, three short stanzas. This poem is entitled, Let the Stable Still Astonish. Let the stable still astonish, straw, dirt floor, dull eyes, dusty flanks of donkeys, oxen, crumbling, crooked walls, no bed to carry that pain, and then the child, rag-wrapped, laid to cry in a trough. And a question, who would have chosen this? Who would have said, yes, let the God of all the heavens and earth be born here in this place? Would you have chosen that? If you were assigned to prepare the way for the God of all the heavens and earth, would you have chosen the stable? No. Who did choose it? Who but the same God, the poem answers. Who but the same God who stands in the darker, fouler rooms of our hearts and says, yes, let the God of all the heavens and earth be born here in this place. The God of all the heavens and earth is born in the hearts of all those who are open to receive him. Just as he came to that stinking, rotten stable, he comes into our stinking, filthy, rotten hearts, and he can be born new there when we receive him as the God, what manner of man, what manner of God that he is. When we receive the manner of love that he has bestowed upon us, he can make us the manner of persons that he has called us to be. I ask you tonight, have you accepted his free gift of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ? Have you encountered what manner of love he has for you? Those of you who have been saved a very long time know that he is nothing but love. In his discipline, he is loving. In his provision, he is loving. He is that shepherd that gently guides and directs the sheep. If you are saved, what are you spending your time on? What manner of persons ought we to be? It says here in 2 Peter chapter 3, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless, mirroring language without spot in James. And 1 John said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The elements will melt with a fervent heat. I'm running short on time, but one final thought. When I was in college and in high school, you know, you study about the atom, and the atom, how it has protons, which are positively charged particles, neutrons, which are negatively charged particles, and electrons. And those negatively charged particles orbit, much like our solar system orbits the nucleus of the atom. Well, it is puzzling to know why those charges don't repel. What holds that atom together? And even the secular scientists will use terminology like it's almost like the atom has a soul. Something is upholding, Ephesians, all of things that we see. And all God has to do is let go, and it will blow apart and melt with a fervent heat, the like of which we have never seen. What manner of man, what manner of God is he? Let's pray and ask God's blessing on his word and these thoughts tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use your word to deal well with your people tonight. We would surrender all that we have to you, that we'd strive to be that holy and blameless people in the midst of a dark world. How desperately we need to be pure witnesses for you. How desperately we need an awakening. Pray that you would use this church to reach Phoenix Valley, Lord. Thank you for the history that it has already, and pray that you would continue to bless it. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to open your word with them tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.